Good morning. How is everyone doing today? I hope well. And let's get started with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, thank you so much for this time that we can look in your word. Help me, Lord, help me to look and find those things that are important to us for today and things that we need to know for the future. Help us to understand your word and get to know you better. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So how is everyone doing today? I hope you're doing well. I was thinking that I forgot yesterday to do our proverb, and I just realized I did not do it again for today. So I am kind of flipping over in my Bible to Proverbs to pick one for the end. And today is, this will be broadcast on the 16th. So go to chapter 16. And let's see. Or maybe I'll do the first one. Proverbs 16, verse 1. The preparations of the heart in men, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. I think that's pretty good for today's lesson. Oh, this is even a better one. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That one applies to me today. And hopefully all my enemies are in peace with me today. So let's get into it. Yesterday we had left off. We had talked a little bit, a little introduction of Luke and who he was. And now we're going to actually get into the substance of Luke. And the first couple of chapters is all, you can tell that Mary was probably the eminenzo of this portion of Luke. Since it's a lot of it is only in Luke about the birth of not only Elizabeth and Zechariah and John the Baptist, I mean, John the Baptist from Elizabeth and Zacharias, but also of the birth of Jesus. We'll be looking at those for the next couple of chapters before telling. And so got some really interesting insights that I really enjoy about this section. We'll try to get through maybe about 14, 10 verses or so today. So let's jump in. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Right off the bat, we got a couple of interesting things here. You know, the general time frame. An interesting thing about the names even, that in Jewish circles, the name can carry some meaning also, and it's something that can help us to even understand why they were named that and how that God had put them together. And it's interesting that these particular names here, Zacharias actually means God remembers, and then Elizabeth's name means his oath. So together, the names mean God remembers his oath. Kind of interesting. And that what they are going to be parents to is a prophecy that goes all the way back to well into the Old Testament. And I found an interesting reference for the for this over in Psalms 89, 34 through 37. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as a son before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. Selah. So it's interesting things here we see when it comes to Zacharias and Elizabeth. Go back here for a second. Zacharias was a priest, and it's interesting that we just mentioned David. Priests were set up to do certain tasks in the temple, and they had a time frame that they had to do their turn in temple and minister under the temple and be servants to the temple. And you notice here it says of the course of Abia, and that goes all the way back to David. David had set up a order of sets of priests that would worship and would take care of the affairs of the temple, and they would do it for a certain number of weeks, and then the next one would take over. And there was 24 of those, and he was of the course of Abia, and his particular job was to take care of the incense burner that was inside the holy place. So over in Chronicles 24, it talks about this. We talk about the 24 courses set up by David. And David distributed them, both Zadok of the sons of Eleazar and Amalek of the sons of Ithamar, according to their offices in their service. And there were more chief men found of the sons of Eleazar than of the sons of Ithamar, and thus were they divided. Among the sons of Eleazar, there were 16 chief men of the house of their fathers, and 8 among the sons of Ithamar, according to the house of their fathers. So there's your 24 sets. And by the way, this is a group of people. It's the only other place in the Bible, there's only one other place we see 24 used. And it's interesting that it represents a group of people. And that's in Revelation 5 and 6, or 4, 5, and 4 and 5. And we see it a couple other places in Revelation. And I truly believe that, and I think I can prove it, that it stands for the church. It's just another group of people. And here, that's what it stands for, a group of priests. And it doesn't have any, there's no particular reason for the number. As you see here, we got 16 from one set of men and 8 from a different set of men. So it really doesn't have any meaning in itself as the 24 would be. You know, not like when you see things like the 7-day week, that has a lot of meaning. 6 is the number of a man, those have meanings also. You got the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles, those have meaning based on 12. But 24 doesn't really have a meaning in itself. It just stands for a group of people, representing a large group of people, because these were 12 sets of people that took care of the temple when it's their turn. Continuing Chronicles 24, verse 5. Thus were they divided by lot, one sort with another, for the governors of the sanctuary, it's one set, and the governors of the house of God, it's another set, and were the sons of Eleazar and the sons of Ithamar. And Shemael, the son of Nathan, the scribe, one of the Levites, wrote them before the king and the princes, and Zadok the priest, and Amalek the son of Abiathar, before the chief of the fathers of the priests and the Levites, one principal household being taken for Eleazar and one taken for Ithamar. Now the first lot came forth to Jeroboam, the second to Jedidiah. Now they're going to go through the 24 that received the these particular ordinances. And from verse 7 all the way down through 10, it talks about these. I'll just go through them real quick. The third to Harim, the fourth to Seraiam. I'm getting down to one certain one. The fifth to Melijah, the sixth to Majam. Now we get down to the 20, this one here. The ninth to Joshua and the tenth, oh, I skipped one. No, the seventh to Hakoz and the eighth to Abijah. And there's the Abijah that Zacharias was a member of that particular group. And so that's why it says there in that he was of the group of the Abijah. And one other reference down at verse 19. And these were the orderings of them in their service to come into the house of the Lord according to their manner, under Aaron their father, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded them. So that all these particular people are actually under the Levite and actually under Aaron the high priest, that these priests were picked from the sons of Aaron. What other reference to it? Now, another interesting thing. Now we get to Elizabeth. And just to look at that again, real quick. Of of the course of, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. So even Elizabeth was a descendant from from Aaron, which was the father of all these elders who originally set up that David set up originally for the 24 groups of priests to take care of the temple. So she's a descendant of Aaron also, and her name was Elizabeth. So over in Numbers 26:59, and talking about Aaron, I just wanted to point out who Aaron was. And the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, whom her mother bare to Levi in Egypt. And she bare unto Amram, Aaron, and Moses, and Miriam, their sister. That's where Aaron comes in. Aaron became the speaker for Moses in front of Pharaoh during the time of the Exodus. Also in Exodus 28:1. And take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, and Aaron's sons. So again, that ends up being Elizabeth, who's his wife, is also a descendant of Aaron, ultimately. So they're both of priestly blood, per se. Okay, back to Luke. Verse 6, and this is where it comments about it. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They had no children because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were well stricken in age. Now, it just gets rather interesting because with God, anything's possible, and it reminds me of a famous story over in Genesis. Well, we know another older couple that had a child in their older age, and that was, of course, Sarah and Abraham. We see that in Genesis 17:17. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, "Shall this child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" Jumping down to chapter 18, verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women, in other words, she had reached menopause. We have the same situation here in Luke with Elizabeth and Zacharias. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So his particular job in the temple was to burn the incense. And just so we know what that entailed, we see that over in Exodus 30, verse 7 and 8. And this is what they did. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning when he dresses the lamps. He shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at evening, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. So Aaron, of course, we're talking, this is like 1400 BC, and right now we're in actually around, some believe it's 2 BC or 4 BC is a general idea around when Jesus was born, somewhere in that time frame. So somewhere between 4 and 2 BC. So this has been going on now for well over 2300 and something years. Also over in Numbers 16:40. To be a memorial unto the children of Israel, and no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near to the offer incense before the Lord. So you had to be a descendant of Aaron in order to be even come near to get burnt incense of the Lord. That it not be as Korah and as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. If you remember back at the mountain when those people defied the Lord, and the only ones that didn't was Aaron and his group. And that's why they got the honor of being the temple priests. So that God mandated that from then on that to be a temple priest, you had to be of Aaron's descendants. Also in Hebrew 9:6. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of the Lord. When it says the first tabernacle, that basically means that you've been in my other studies, I didn't get a picture this time, but there was three areas in the temple. The outside area is where the altar was, where they burnt the sacrifice. The one they call the holy place is where the showbread was, where this incense burner was, and where the candlesticks were. And then, of course, one more step going in is the Holy of Holies, and that's where the Ark of the Covenant was, and where the high priest only went in there once a year. But the incense burner was maintained and lit daily, was continuously lit forever. And even when they traveled, they would take the incense burner and put it in a container and carry it lit with them to their next destination. So they maintain that ritual all through those generations, all the way up to Jesus, and a little after even. Okay, back to Luke, verse 110. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. So while the time of the incense was going on out inside, all the people would be gathered around outside. It was called the evening oblation, or the morning oblation, and they would be praying to the Lord during that time. And the idea being was that the sweet smell of the incense would the smell would go up, and the Lord could smell it, and that represented the prayers being lifted up to the Lord. Okay, Luke 1, verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing by the right side of the altar of incense. Okay, this is something that doesn't happen every day. You can imagine, he's in the room by himself. He's taking care of the incense burner. And all of a sudden, this person appears next to him. I found interesting about this particular verse is the fact that the exact same thing is represented in the, we will witness it in the, throne room after the rapture, and that's in Revelation 8, 3 and 4. Grab any water. Another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. This is in heaven, in front of the Lord. And the smoke of the incense, which came from the prayers of the saints, and ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. So, very symbolic here that what they're doing on earth here during the temporal period, that this similar thing represents our prayers to the Lord, and that we'll see it symbolized again when we're in heaven. Okay, verse 12. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. You can imagine he did. And jumping ahead a little bit to chapter 2, verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. So we can see that whenever an angel appears, it seems like they're really quite, I guess they might glow. And so it's really noticeable that they are definitely something different than what we're used to. So Zacharias, had much fear when we know this person's glowing, and he wasn't there a second ago, you know. Okay, verse 13. But the angel said unto, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. So here the angel has come to deliver a message, and quite the message it is that I guess they'd probably been praying for very, very many years that they would have a child, but it never came to pass. But with God, all things are possible. And as we'll see with Abraham also and Sarah, that God can do anything he wants to do. And so they're going to have a child in their old age. Jumping over to Hebrews 1:4. Talks about this being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Just to let you know that that actually in the pecking order of things, that angels are actually messengers of God, and that God sees us just a little bit higher than the angels when it comes to our placement in his royal thoughts. Also in Genesis 25:21. And this is the other time that someone conceived. This was Isaac. was having trouble conceiving, and entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And so that was another time that the Lord stepped in and answered a prayer about getting pregnant. And the one that I think I already mentioned, surprised I didn't write it down, but it's the one with Sarah and Abraham. I think I already told you that. Yeah. Okay, verse 14. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Verse 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And a few things about this. Over in Jeremiah 1:5, talking about, and this verse is kind of important to me, and we'll talk about it more as we get into the story of Jesus and Mary. But I think these verses here in the first two chapters really convinced me that unlike the naysayers, that a child is a child is a child at conception. And that some of these verses talk about these very, very, very young children in the womb, in their mother's womb, that get the spirit of the Lord immediately. So I think that once conception is made, that God puts his spirit in us, and that we get our soul right away. And a few of these verses are going to kind of point to that as we go through them. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of thy womb, I sanctified thee. And I adorned thee a prophet unto the nations. Here God is talking about somebody who got pregnant. But the thing I'm pointing to here is the fact that he knows us before we were even thought about in the womb. And so that to God, a baby is a baby, even before conception. Also, jumping ahead to Luke 7, a few verses there to help us understand this. Verse 24 through 28. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began speaking unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind. But what went ye out far to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicacy are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is Jesus, by the way, talking about John the Baptist. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is none greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is great, least in the kingdom of God, is greater than he. This is a fascinating verse that's been, I've studied and heard messages on all my whole life. And basically what it's saying in this verse is that John was the last of the prophets of the Old Testament. So the Old Testament officially ended when John was born and had his ministry. And as soon as Jesus came on the scene in the famous baptismal of Jesus by John, that's the official start of the New Testament, basically. Even though it happens well into the Gospels, that's the official starting period based on this verse. So also in Leviticus 10:9, this is a preview, a prophecy of this is a rule about, I mentioned in there about John being no food or drink, no alcohol. And this is the part of the requirement to be a priest of the order of Aaron. And we already determined that John was born of Zacharias, a priest, and his mother was of the priestly line also. So he's also going to be required, based on this verse here in Leviticus, not to drink wine or strong drink. But in John's case, it was for his entire life. Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. So this was a rule that was set down by Moses' time, and was carried all the way through to John. Also over in Numbers 6, it explains it also. This is talk about the Nazarite vow, and this is another vow that John will also be undertaking. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of the Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine, or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. So that's the Nazarite vow. And I'm going to end there for today. Now it's about half hour, and it's a good stopping spot. And we'll continue talking about this this revelation to Elizabeth and Zacharias tomorrow. And so let's end with a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, so much for this time. We get to look into your word, and you continue to help us to understand your word. And help me, Lord, to prepare these lessons, and that it honors you, and that we could always look to you for answers to all our questions. And we give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, I'll talk to everybody tomorrow. Hope you have a great day.